kind of frivolous or like soft, especially when they have all of these very significant social problems.
Well, one of the things is if the children aren't given opportunities to grow as children, many of them are railroaded into being adults way before they need to be. Many of them are working, trying to raise families at like 10, 11, and 12, and they totally miss the opportunity to grow up as children and to learn that there are many more things that are out there besides just getting married and raising a family. One of the thoughts from Mr. Gangley is that he's trying to change the aspiration level of the children to believe that they deserve more than they're getting, even if their parents have given up the hope. And he's saying that if you want to start any change, to start with the children. And by giving the children this hope, it's doing great wonders in the neighborhoods that they're living in.
Now, when you say these children are growing up too fast, I mean, some people say, ah, kids grow up too fast these days, but this is really serious. Like, these are children having babies, basically. People having babies, under the age of 18 in some of these communities.
Right. He was noticing that in many of the communities, the girls are being married off at ages of 12, 13, and 14. And once they're married off at that age, they're having like three, four, and five children by the time they're 20. And so that doesn't leave them many opportunities because they immediately have to go into trying to raise that family and deal with that. And by giving the children other avenues for growth, as opposed to we just need to get married and raise this family, it's starting to change some of the conditions where they are.
Now, when you hear about, a film about poverty, a film about slums, it sounds like it's going to be kind of a hard film to get through, maybe, but this is like a really joyous movie, right?
It is because of working with the children and giving them opportunities to be children. They're singing and there's dancing and they're learning songs that are teaching them things other than just the dance. Some of the songs are about some of their conditions. And by singing about those conditions, they bring them a little bit more to the surface. And it helps them think more about trying to not necessarily follow the path that they've seen everyone else follow and maybe try to lead a different path for themselves.
So, Henry, tell me about the event tonight. Who's going to be at tonight's panel?
We have three panelists on. Sally Carter is the founder and executive director of Tap In Leadership, and it's a group working with the youth in our community. Retisha Carter is the youth engagement specialist for Access Initiatives Youth Move, and they are also a group working with youth in the community. And Professor Suja Thomas from the College of Law is a research law professor and can give us some insights on life in India.
Well, Henry, it's always an interesting film that you show, and it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me, and I hopefully we will get a good audience out tonight.
Absolutely. So that's The Revolutionary Optimist playing tonight at the Champaign Public Library. Thanks, Henry.
Thank you.
This is WYLL. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Illinois school officials are sounding the alarm over inadequate state funding for kindergarten through 12th grade. Just under $1 billion have been cut during the past 3 years alone. And add to this late payments to schools, the ambiguity of pension costs in Illinois, and a 5% cut in federal funding due to the sequester. The situation seems worse than bleak. Illinois Public Radio's Willis Kern talked about the problem with state school superintendent Christopher Cook.
School districts across the state have been forced to lay off personnel and make reductions in anticipation of an unknown budget, often not finalized until just before classes begin. More schools are on financial oversight and watch lists, and 67% of districts are currently in deficit spending. That's an all-time high. State School Superintendent Christopher Cook says two school districts couldn't make payroll last year, a problem he says only figures to get worse unless lawmakers and the governor act quickly. He says there's been a lot of monitoring in Springfield of school spending, something he encourages.
So we're going to have some very difficult conversations. I know already, just in what I'm seeing and hearing in the appropriation committees, and members of the General Assembly. A lot of folks care deeply about where the revenue is going and for education, how the dollars are being spent, where the growth is in the budget. We're talking about things like the property tax extension limitation component, the poverty component to the formula. All these things have grown exponentially over the last 5-10 years. I think it's a public responsibility to look, anytime you see a lot of growth in cost, to really look carefully at those portions of the budget and ask questions about them and try to ensure that this is best serving the needs of our students today.
The state school board backs the proposal by Democratic Senator Andy Menar to study the funding mechanism for public school districts, even starting from scratch if necessary. This seems to me to be a long-term approach to a short-term problem.
We have both. We have both long and short-term needs. We think the best solution right now is to fund the foundation level that's in statute. That's $6,119. We believe that could be possible with a very critical look at the budget. That would help at least keep districts afloat during this very difficult time. We don't have a lot of latitude in time. The urgency is now in ensuring that we're providing adequate funding for education.
You mentioned property tax extension limitations, or PTEL. That's more commonly known as the property tax caps. Some counties started instituting these a decade or so ago. How much of an impact are these having on the financial condition of districts?
First of all, just looking on its surface, this is a liability that started around $40 million that grew to its peak of over $800 million. And in essence, you have the state offsetting where property tax, only a portion of it, where the property tax is capped, then the state makes up the difference of what's needed there. And it's for counties that have voted on this. So you have, just in that basic configuration, an elevated cost to the state, an undetermined amount of money that's going to be needed in the future as property values rise again coming out of the recession. That number is going to go up. And so I think it's really important to look at that carefully.
It appears school districts will be asked in some form or another to pick up the cost of the pension obligation. How can some of these districts, especially the smaller ones, do that in light of their current financial situation?
You know, the districts are definitely concerned about that. And I would say, though, that what's worse is not having or knowing what those costs are going to be. At this point, many district superintendents have told me, Chris, we just need to know the numbers. Just tell us what we have to do. We can budget for it and plan for it. The proration, or not funding the foundation level, for many has been a much deeper impact than a cost shift would be. So it really depends on the local situation of a district.
If you're going to propose long and short-term solutions, what would they be?
Well, I think, you know, again, we're going to have to do both. I guess with the short-term, you know, we're looking critically. In fact, I believe our board's going to be considering a resolution even this month for, first of all, allowing districts enough time for a change. If there's a change in what we're currently doing and allocating the money, if there's a better way to do it on the short term, we're open to looking at that. I know there have been some suggestions on the table. Our board is looking at that. We began looking at those modifications over the summer last year, about a year ago. So we've been giving thought to what some short-term changes could be. Again, we're very supportive of looking carefully at all the components, setting out some guiding principles, I think, for the public to understand funding, how it's used. We're very supportive of doing that. We're going to support this legislative task force for the long term to do their work and do their work well and make sure that we have the best thinking in the country on how these things can work. Your zip code shouldn't matter in terms of the education you receive, and currently, unfortunately, it does.
Do the legislators and the governor get that message, do you think, that the condition of public K-12 education funding is dire and huge steps need to be taken right away?
I'm certainly, every year I've witnessed an increased understanding from members of the General Assembly around these issues. I think the committees this year and the appropriation committees were very well informed, good questions. They certainly have a sense of what's going on and understand an increased urgency. I think, you know, I'm very hopeful that we'll see some resolution on pensions so that we can move ahead with these other issues this year. I have to remain optimistic. Our schools are too important, and that folks realize that.
State School Superintendent Christopher Cook says consolidation is a popular concept around the state right now. He says having so many elementary, unit, and high school districts makes it difficult to raise adequate revenue. He says there's often a disconnect between elementary and high school districts, and Cook suggests providing monetary incentives for districts to align curriculum and instruction methods. I'm Willis Kern.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Christopher Thorpe, Gibson City; A-Plus Farms Limited, Pine Village; and Provena Covenant Medical Center, Urbana. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 14th of May, 2013. It was on this day, 1804, Lewis and Clark departed on their journey. They had spent the winter near St. Louis getting ready. They gathered supplies, recruited people, packed the boats. They had a long supply list, 25 hatchets, 10 pounds of fishing hooks and fishing lines, 12 pounds of soap, 3 bushels of salt, 45 flannel shirts, 15 pairs of wool overalls, 176 pounds of gunpowder, 130 rolls of tobacco, and 4,000 sewing needles, the tobacco and needles gifts for the Indians they would meet. They also packed a microscope, a telescope, 2 sextants, and 50 dozen Dr. Rush's patented Rush's Thunderclapper pills, a laxative. It was an expedition to the Pacific that Thomas Jefferson had been trying to set up for years. Back in 1785, when Jefferson was the ambassador to France, he met a man named Ledyard who'd been born in Connecticut and wandered all over, sailed to the South Pacific with Captain Cook, and wound up in Paris. Jefferson wanted to send him to explore out west. He was going to get there by way of Russia, and he walked 1,200 miles through Scandinavia and the Arctic Circle and across most of Russia before he was captured and deported. So when Jefferson became president, he picked his own private secretary, Meriwether Lewis, to lead the expedition, and Lewis chose William Clark, his former commanding officer in the army, to go with him. And it was on this day, 1804, the Corps of Discovery, as it was called, started up the Missouri River from St. Louis. Here's a poem for today by Denise Levertov, Animal Spirits. When I was 5 and undifferentiated energy, animal spirits, pent-up desire for the unknown, built in me a head of steam I had no other way to let off. I ran at top speed, back and forth, end to end of the drawing room, bay to French windows, shouting, roaring, really, slamming deliberately into the rosewood desk at one end, the shaken window frames at the other, till the fit wore out or some grown-up stopped me.